Wade Ashbrenner, External Relations Officer.
That's right.
And let me see. Ryan Forbes is out there.
Ryan Forbes, teacher, Adeo Valley, Myrtle Valley Resource Center.
And Travis Powers. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. It's good to see you all. My name is Travis Powers. I'm a teacher at the Gross Point Secondary School at our El Cajon location.
And Kathia Cortez.
Good morning. My name is Katia Cortez. I'm a teacher at Sweetwater Secondary at the Chula Vista location.
Angela.
Good morning. My name is Angela Neri. I am the board and president administrative support. Thank you and welcome.
And Waylon.
Good morning. I'm Waylon Myers. I'm on the board of Adeo Schools.
And we are happy that you're on. Corey, I hope you don't mind, but we told everybody about you and everybody wanted to hear. So we went ahead and invited a bunch of our observers, although they're not.
No problem. It's an open meeting, so whoever's here is great.
You've got a big audience this morning.
That's awesome. Good. It's good to see Shanita and our have contact with Wade and Lynn through the process. So good all to see you.
Sure. Thank you. And of course, we all work from the same model, although we're separate, connected, you know, not connected, other than we use the same model. But we're all very supportive of all the schools. And we're very much into learning and research. So when we've got a guest like you, you know, the word gets out.
I'm flattered. So hopefully I could deliver and it'll be some good takeaways for everybody.
You know, I miss Tim Tudor. You might have met Tim. I see you there somewhere.
Good morning. Hi, Corey. Yeah, we've met.
Hi, good morning, Tim.
I hope I didn't miss anyone else, but others might even be joining us. Greg, thank you. Just wanted to make introductions of staff. So.
Well, I really appreciate you doing that. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. And thank you so much for being here. And happy December 1st, 2021. The meeting is beginning at 8:05. I want to welcome you all to the Board of Directors meeting for Adeo Charter School Nonprofit Board, which operates Adeo 2 Charter School, Adeo Charter School 3, Adeo Valley Charter School, Grossmont Secondary School, and Sweetwater Secondary School. I'm Greg Haggard, Chairman of the Board. I will facilitate the meeting. We'll take the roll first. When I call your name, please provide the group with a brief introduction for the benefit of new members and members of the public. To Waylon Myers.
I'm Waylon Myers, and I'm on the board of Adeo Schools.
All right, and I've introduced myself, Greg Haggard. I'm chairman of the board. Our other board member, Laura Barrero, is not going to make it today. We will miss her. So we're moving into the first item on the agenda, which is 1.3, consideration and approval of adoption of the board findings pursuant to Government Code Section 54953 sub E1. So the Adeo Charter School Board of Directors determines in accordance with Government Code Section 54953 E1B that meeting in person would present imminent risk to health or safety of attendees. Pursuant to the same government code, the board has also reconsidered the circumstances of the state of emergency declared by the governor on March 4th, 2020, and finds the state of emergency continues to directly impact the ability of directors to meet safely in person, and or that state or local officials continue to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing. Additionally, AB 361 requires that this finding be made every 30 days to continue to permit teleconference meetings without adhering to some of the traditional requirements of the Brown Act, specifically with teleconferencing requirements of Government Code Section 54953B3. So having said that, do I have a motion for approval of item 1.3?
I make a motion to approve item 1.3.
And awkwardly, I'll second that, and then we'll take the vote. Now, because we're on teleconference, I have to call for the vote. So, Waylon Myers, your vote.
Waylon Myers votes aye.
Greg Haggard votes aye. Thank you. So that passes unanimously. 1.4, establishment of quorum. Do I have a motion for approval of item 1.4?
I'm Waylon Myers. I motion to approve item 1.4.
Thank you. Greg Haggard will second that. And Waylon, your vote on 1.4.
Waylon Myers votes aye.
And Greg Haggard votes aye. So that passes unanimously.
I think it's background.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, for those of us that aren't continually talking like me, please put things on mute. Thank you. So 1.5, the Pledge of Allegiance, always a little awkward. Angela, thank you for the flag. Let's stand up and here we go. Ready? Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everybody. I know we're all saying that at our own pace, but I really appreciate that. So 1.6, the approval of agenda. So I do have a motion for approval of today's agenda.
Yes, I, Waylon Myers, motion to approve today's agenda.
Thank you. And Greg Haggard seconds that. Waylon, your vote, please.
My vote is aye.
Greg Haggard votes aye, so that passes unanimously. So 2.0, public comment. Public comment, if I'm going too fast, I'm sorry. A lot of this is just standard stuff we do every time, but if anyone has questions or even what we're doing, please stop. Otherwise, I'm going to get through some of this almost housekeeping before we get to the good stuff. So 2.0, public comment. Public comment for items of interest to the public and within the scope of the Adeo Charter School Nonprofit Board non-agenda shall be no longer than 2 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. In accordance with the Brown Act, no discussion or action may occur regarding items that are not on the agenda at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to briefly respond or give direction to staff. All public comment will be heard at this point in the agenda as ordered below. Public comment for agenda item shall be no longer than 3 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. Each agenda item being commented on will have a maximum of 20 minutes allotted, and each non-agenda item will have a maximum of 10 minutes allotted. If necessary, the board chair may equivalently decrease the time for each speaker in order to stay within the allotted maximum. So 2.1, non-agenda public comment. This is the opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that are not on the agenda. Speakers limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Are there any public comments on items not on the agenda? Hearing none, I'm going to move to 2.2, agenda items, public comment. So this is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that appear on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Are there any public comments on agenda items? Okay, hearing none, I'll move to 3.0, administrative items. 3.1, consider approval of special board meeting on December 1st, 2021 and December 9th, 2021. Mary, is there a recommendation for 3.1?
You're on mute.
Yes, consideration for approval, please.
Should I second that?
I would entertain a motion to approve.
I'm Waylon Myers. I motion to approve.
Thank you. I second that. And Waylon, your vote, please.
My vote is aye.
And Greg Haggard votes aye. So that passes unanimously. So 3.2, Adeo Valley Charter School, time certain 8 a.m. So it's 8:11 right now. So 3.2.1, Governing for Greatness book presentation by Dr. Corey Loomis, Charter Schools Director of Riverside County Office of Education. Allow me just a little introduction. Dr. Corey Loomis is the director of the Charter School Unit for Riverside County Office of Education, our authorizer for Adeo Valley Charter School. Dr. Loomis has over 23 years of experience in education as a teacher, administrator, and principal in traditional public school systems. He spent 4 years as a charter school leader and has been a charter school parent for the past 13 years. His administrative experiences range from pre-K through adult education and the designing and creation of a new charter SPED program. He was named the Association of California School Administrators Region 12 Administrator of the Year and has published research. Dr. Loomis earned his doctorate in leadership and educational justice and master's in educational administration from the University of Redlands. We welcome you, Dr. Loomis, and thank you for the presentation. Would you like to start your presentation?
Well, that was a very flattering welcome. You must have grabbed that from somewhere, but I appreciate that intro. That was very kind of you. So you've actually shared a lot. So one, I just have to, I've got two slides, two presentations ready to go. And so Mary, what I lost track of, and I'm ready to go either way. And let me backtrack just a minute as a kind of a way of intro, and we could kind of decide which path we'd like to go on. But Greg, I appreciate the kind comments. I'm in my sixth year at Riverside County Office of Ed. And one thing I realized to this point in my career, and as you shared in the intro comments, I've sat in almost every seat around the charter table. And I think we've all learned a lot through the pandemic. And I really have come full circle with my thinking about our role as authorizers and the significance of our role and the impact that we can have on school leadership, school boards, and most importantly, students. And so I've really leaned into developing further relationships and opportunities to engage with all of our boards up here in Riverside County. So last spring, I didn't get to do it with this particular board because we're still new and fleshing it out and we're in the middle of a pandemic, but I had an opportunity to make the rounds to all of our other charter schools and do the presentation on that book. So I am ready to get into that conversation specifically about the book. I guess what I want to check real quick before we go down that path, and then I have a presentation for this year. So the presentation that I can give was the one that I did last year with the rest of the school. So it sounds like the board members did receive the book. Okay, and you had an opportunity to go through some of it or get into it a little bit, correct? Okay, so you know what? I think what will be good, and I could do a follow-up in the spring with the other information that I'm providing in the fall to the charter school. So we're just a little cycle off, but it is all gonna work out well. And that is great because this is where we're at right now is the book conversation. So let me, this is my first time with this particular platform. So I think it's gonna be pretty easy to do regarding presenting. So if I'm able to present off of my screen like Zoom, let me see if it, okay. Yeah. Perfect. We're getting closer. All right. All right. So hopefully, and again, I think I only see Greg on there. So if you could give me a thumbs up, if we've got the presentation. All right. Perfect.
Yeah, all you right. Got it.
Excellent. So I'm very excited, to kind of, have a little further discussion around why we're here and why I'm so interested in having a conversation with the board. The longer I do this work, the more I realize the significance, as you all know, as board members and school leaders, but specifically board members, the impact and your influence and ultimately your responsibility over your network of schools. And that's an awesome responsibility, right? Because at the end we have families and we have students that are our core and are definitely overlapping why collectively our students. And just maybe a little bit of way of introduction, and I could point to afterwards, but we have a really comprehensive handbook. I feel that it's unique in the state. That really tells the why of what we do and how and the rationale. I really just believe in complete transparency, open and honest conversation with board leaders, with charter leaders, and definitely no surprises. And really, we come, especially through the lens of through the pandemic, we really have doubled down on what I would call support, and what I'm really coining as beyond compliance. Compliance, you know, we all signed up to be student focused, and I signed up to be an educator first, not a compliance officer. So our work might feel a little different than other authorizers in other states, because we just take this work very seriously and really co-collaborating and partnering with schools. And so we really believe in strong, positive relationships with all of our charter leaders. And so this has really been a foundation, if we want to think of an iceberg, a foundation that's been built over multiple years, right? If you just think about what goes into a healthy relationship, and of course, it's all based and predicated on trust. So we really have gotten to a good place with our portfolio. And really my call, and Wade and have team and have heard my conversations before, but how can we do this differently as authorizers? And really my challenge is to do this work at a high level and with our portfolio of charter schools, for them to work at a high level, and for us to be supportive of their efforts. But I really feel that collectively on both ends of the table, that we could really make an impact on really the state. And when people, you know, question why are things different there, why are there such good outcomes, it will go back to really our relationship and partnering in the work is really our why about what we do. So as we get into this book, and I'm so grateful to hear, I lost track a little bit, and I apologize of where we're at with this particular board, but I'm super glad that we got this out to you. I'm glad that you had an opportunity to get into it. So really this morning, and again, I would welcome another opportunity to maybe in the spring to touch base with you on some of the other information that I'm sharing with the charter boards this fall. But you know, as you get it, have read and peruse this particular book, of course it's at a higher national level. But you know, as Mary pointed out, there's some really good foundational pieces that are relevant for all charter boards, and I'm just going to tease some of those out as we have this discussion this morning. And you know, as I shared, that the board itself really has that awesome responsibility of all aspects of your network, because you oversee multiple schools. So some basic awareness of board members would be, you know, what does your petition say? What are the outcomes, the mission of your network and your schools? Being somewhat aware of renewal cycles and the criteria, and what does that look like? We also have a different conversation that's been paused in some areas around the dashboard. Assessments, what assessments are being used, and just some basic awareness of assessments, and you know, basic information of what could be found and what should be on the charter website. The board specifically, as you know, are directly responsible for the bylaws, you know, and just awareness of what the bylaws are and what they say. You know, and it's always healthy to go through those at least maybe once a year. There might be need some refreshing, some minor revisions that could be addressed in the bylaws. And how, what's the selection process for, and these are just examples, selection process of board candidates, action items. And I was always, you know, I shared with Wade and team as we began the petition process. I affectionately call it the dance. We're all aware of the dance and what that looks like and what we need to do as we go through that process and the vetting process. But really after what I call the dance, really to me, I call the portfolio our family, and I really truly mean that in a close sense. We move beyond that. And so what does that, you know, as far as going back to the board itself, The annual training around the board, and we'll touch base on it at the end of this presentation, because I think it was page 54 and 53, right around there. There's some really good reflective questions that the board could look at, and conflict of interest and being aware of that. But getting back, just kind of put a bow on my little bird walk around the dance. What I was really pleased with beginning the process and get better understanding Dale, it was really the long, rich history of the network itself. And I do have to just quickly note, it was extremely impressive for San Diego Unified to actually write a letter almost of in support, but a letter of, you know, that you're in compliance and things are going well. I have never seen that. So that really spoke volumes and highly of this board and the network itself. But to really just to kind of start moving further into these kind of key areas within this book, they touched on several, but really responsibilities of the board when it comes to school management. Ultimately, the board is responsible for the evaluation of your leadership and specifically the CEO spot and what does those evaluations look like. But, you know, making sure they're fulfilling responsibilities and understanding the scope of leadership and authority of the board. And then your leadership and your COE responsibilities, understanding that scope, understanding where the lines of kind of authority and the scope of authority lies. And accountability, understanding that leadership and the CEO is essentially accountable to the board, and the board's responsible for leadership. And compensation, you know, evaluating compensation, making sure it's fair and representative. And I did touch base on the importance of having regular evaluations of the CEO. Another key aspect that the book really got into was academic performance as far as board oversight and board responsibility. You know, and that's another key piece. Academic performance is another key piece that the board ultimately is responsible for. And, you know, there's really no secret sauce when we look at effective leadership, when we look at healthy, strong organizations, of what those key ingredients are. And academic performance, having a school-wide culture focused on student success, having effective, experienced leadership. And a big challenge that all schools, boards are really wrestling with nowadays, attracting and retaining the most capable teachers. And I'll probably even extend that to staff. But we know that we do have a teacher shortage, not only in our state, but also in our country. Fiscal controls are a huge aspect and responsibility of the board. And, you know, if we look at research, school closure, the number one reason for charter school closure is for fiscal reasons. You know, and not necessarily in a negative way or the things that would hit the newspaper type of ways, but really just not having a good grounding and having the checks and balances and a good plan and good management of your finances. So I feel like I'm speaking to the choir a little bit because the board has been going for so long and at a high level, but really understanding that separation of duties and positions and what that looks like, that always having that check and balance within the fiscal controls, you know, having purchasing policies, especially some of those things that negatively hit the newspaper, credit card policies, and what does that look like, cash handling, vendor approval procedures, and what do those pieces look like. Again, keys of success for the board, reviewing financial reports on a regular basis are key to monitoring and tracking. And if we look at the board as a whole, you know, as we look at board members and potential candidates, looking to have a well-rounded, experienced board members is key. And so if you have, you know, someone with that background, it's always helpful on the board. And these were just some suggestions regarding performance indicators for the board to look at on a regular basis, but essentially unrestricted cash on hand, liquidity, and the reserves, and what do those key indicators look like for all of your charter schools, as you oversee multiple, you know, having those key questions around if those are not within the margins, having those key questions for leadership. Risk management is more of a holistic perspective of risk management, but essentially the board asking within your network, where are any gaps that we might have exposure to, liability exposure, risk exposure to, And so in this particular area of managing liability, you know, the key pieces to look at would obviously, as this network has strong, competent people, also being proactive, you know, considering monthly reports on areas of liability or regular reports on management, risk management, and aligning those metrics to outcomes. So these were just some examples, because again, the exposure to liability could come from a variety of areas. It's just really having an understanding of where the potential bigger gaps are, and then maybe considering metrics around or at least tracking those liabilities to make sure they don't become more significant than they need to be. So enrollment, obviously, you know, and that's definitely tied to finances, you know, and some things are not necessarily fitting for this particular model and the network of charter schools. But if it was a seat-based type of program, maybe suspensions, and of course, employee actions under liability. You know, reviewing and evaluating key policies around this area of liability and risk management are important. And then, of course, the network has a strong, effective leadership. Facilities, you know, and of course, this board has wrestled with that and grappled with that. As many charter schools have had challenges around facilities, but this statistic here is 70. This is a national percentage of 77% of public charter schools do not own or own facilities. So the challenges that go with that, and they gave some suggestions of what the keys to success would look like under the area of facilities. But again, it's all tied to, we touched base on earlier, enrollment, but sound fiscal and academic management, stable leadership, board oversight, enrollment growth, because of course that drives the bottom line. Finance, facilities, you know, doing extensive research, making sure you get the right people in the room, especially having legal input on that, effective safety plans and expert input when it comes to facilities. And this is something that the board participates in, and we've had kind of these opening comments even in this particular board member or meeting. But essentially, you know, another piece is conducting board meetings, and what should that look like, and what are the practices and procedures, and really the legal aspects that the board needs to be aware of. I won't spend too much time on this slide. Again, we're working with a well-experienced board, you know, and almost like a bell curve within our portfolio, we have folks with that are beginning that journey and need good reminders of this. But essentially, Brown Act compliance, you know, having details around the agenda. And when we're talking about minutes and agenda, it's really, especially minutes, but it's really, it's healthy for transparency. And I do have to have a legal footnote here. It's not necessarily a legal requirement for minutes, but I would encourage the board and other charter boards for transparency purposes to post those. And it's really not word for word, as the board is probably aware of, but really just catching the main ideas of those particular items. You know, accurate, complete records, of course, and a standard order of business, as we have had that flow in the beginning. Annual training, and here in California, that's a legal requirement to have an annual training. Board development plan. So as I pointed out, it's there are some good self-evaluation questions in here, and that will be on the next slide. But essentially, having a plan. So really, you might have a well-rounded board with those different expertise. If you don't, then considering where is the gap of capacity or knowledge, and then developing a plan around that. You know, in a board, encourage orientation for new members, and what does that look like? And then devoting you know, a few minutes every board meeting for professional development. You know, and that self-evaluation, actually, sorry, I was misquoting, but 58 and 59, you know, that's a great starting point for the board to consider those questions. I believe there's those 10 questions that really are based on all the other main topics that we just briefly went through. And then the board considering, well, you know what, maybe we need to develop a plan or have some more information around this main topic. And that's a great place to start for developing a plan. And coming to, you know, the ending of this particular presentation, but just a reminder and really appreciating and respecting all the hard work that you're doing for all of your students. It is an awesome responsibility, and I know it's one that you don't take lightly. And we appreciate the time and your energy and your expertise and that you invest in your schools and your school leadership and, of course, your students. And you are the umbrella to all the healthy aspects of what happens within those charter schools, within your network. And there's a direct correlation with the strength and the healthiness of the board and the strength and healthiness of the charter school and the strength of leadership. And really, in my opinion, as I shared, the longer I do this, the more I realize that this really all begins with the effectiveness of the governing board on how the rest of the organization will flow. So with that being said, that's wrapping up that particular part of our presentation. And then I will back out of here. And if there's any questions, I'll be here to answer those.
That was wonderful.
Go ahead, Mary.
It was wonderful and very succinct. And thank you for the compliments. We very much try to have board members that keep our standards high. We work very closely with them. We appreciate that. And we've gone through the last 2-3 years, kind of some organic changes. You know, after the Shasta case, we really wanted to comply, and we were the first to get out there and comply, no arguments. And so we've kind of had to piece together something that works well and meets all of the criteria that you talked about. I do have a question. Is there anything in that presentation that you gave in the spring that we weren't quite ready for that you'd like to bring forward now, you know, that we should be thinking about?
Some of the nuggets from this year's, like the current presentation?
Yes, we want to please. We want to impress you with how wonderful we are, if we haven't done it already. No, we want to do it on an ongoing basis. So we want to know what's the direction for this year. We want to be on top of it.
Okay. All right. So I am excited. I'm not going to give you another presentation in honor and respect of your time. But as far as one tool that I have come across recently that that I could definitely share, which is part of the presentation. I'm gonna back into. If you just give me 1 minute, I'm gonna back into a slide of for this year. So I hope I don't give too much away, but let me just share. All right, so not quite as proficient.
All right, take your time. I know I sprung it on.
We're almost there. Copy. Okay. Okay, so one new kind of nugget that I have been sharing was with a couple other pieces. And this may be of interest to you, Mary, board members, just because you have a network, you have multiple schools that you oversee. So, and I could put this. I think there's a chat box feature, but I could drop this link in the chat box. But just to cover this really quickly, I'm always searching nationally, you know, statewide. There's not as much statewide. I'm really always looking for how can we better support, how can we better serve, and then understanding that many charter leaders, many authorizers, many districts don't quite have the capacity or resources. I'm always looking for kind of what I call plug and play tools or resources that are easy to implement and understand without a lot of expertise and time required. So I'm always on a prowl for that. So what I'm sharing here on the screen is actually been a multi-year research project from the National Charter School Resource Center. And last year they published research. The question was, what are the key indicators of essentially why are our charter schools failing? What are some of the common causes, the key reasons for charter school failure? So they're calling them distress indicators. So the first research and I have a link to that as well. They did a complete analysis of what, and I forgot how many, I think several hundred charter schools they analyzed. They came up with key distress indicators. And then what they did based on that research was to actually come up with a toolkit, which was just released this last June. And what I'm excited about this toolkit, so I know in the subtitle it says tools to support authorizer data collection. But as I review this and analyze this particular tool, I think it's could be very useful for boards or charter leaders to do their own self-evaluation versus an authorizer with kind of like their annual visit or a kind of a WASP type of visit. So let me just share a couple of slides of what that looks like. And if it may be helpful, just real quickly, I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on this, but on this particular slide, these are the key indicators and within these areas, they saw failure. So under leadership, governing board, operations, finance, talent, culture, instruction. They go in great detail on defining all those categories. So then they created a toolkit, a very detailed, comprehensive toolkit on all those areas. So although the initial audience in that title says authorizer, I would actually say this is helpful for anybody working with charter schools. So they break all those down into subcategories, and this is where there could be a self-evaluation on these different subcategories on whether they're doing well in that particular area with some notes. And then this could be almost with that risk management, this could be a way to kind of do an evaluation to see if there's any gaps that need to be shored up within your schools, within your network. So again, great, what I call a plug and play, easy to use tool that could be for self-evaluation purposes. And they go down in all those different categories. But I feel that it's helpful. And I know we're in challenging times and there's a lot of moving pieces and there's competing priorities. So I understand kind of bandwidth and capacity and limits on time. But what better tool for a school to do their own self-evaluation versus having an external group do some similar evaluation? So
actually, it aligns quite well with, we're very process and systems oriented. So that's how we improve, by really analyzing not just areas of weakness, but also areas of excellence. We try to move those to stellar. I think I heard Nina talking about this And so actually, this is very helpful. Thank you. It totally meshes with the approach we take to not just annually though, but on a regular basis, looking at all of these. We have what we call champions, where people are responsible for certain aspects. You know, we break up into subcategories too. So I can see how this can really be a plug and play for us.
Yeah. So terrific. What I'll do is I'm going to drop these links in.
And we can actually order this booklet too, can't we, from the National?
It's actually Yeah, it's actually it's a complete free resource online. So that gave you the link to that. That's the first part. And then I'll drop in a link to that rubric style tool that I just shared. I'll drop that in next, but it's a free resource.
Wonderful. Angela, can you coordinate that we have at least a dozen copies of that? Thanks. Just what we're looking
for. PDF also.
Yeah, likewise, if you could send that to the board.
Sure.
Please, thank you.
Yeah, you have both links in there too that go directly to those resources. So I appreciate the question, Mary. So I have been excited to share that little nugget. So thank you for letting me share a little bit more.
We'll work on it and we'll get back to you with what our outcome was.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to do that. Just sharing resources information. Not a requirement, but you're welcome to do that. Thank you. With that, I appreciate the board's time. And Greg, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Am I on? Yes. Don't leave. Just want to say thank you.
Not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. I'm here for more questions too.
So that was really great, and thank you for highlighting, you know, what's in this book. This book was very eye opening as I read it, and I just want you to know that I have two things occur to me as I'm reading this book. One is I'm nodding, saying, boy, of course the school does. Yes, of course it. Yeah, they do a great job. Oh yeah, I'm nodding in, you know, great pride of all the things we do right. And then at the same time, I'm taking notes thinking, oh boy, I needed a little bit better over there and a little bit better over here. And I have these nuggets, and there's certainly areas for my own personal improvement. And this book, it tells you right where to look. So this is really good. It's almost your own private tutoring manual. But again, the it's so easy. I hope this doesn't come out wrong. It's so easy. This organization makes it easy to be a board member because they do such a great job. The organization is so incredibly well run and enjoys such a fantastic culture. There is so much data available, not just available, but pushed out to the board in a, and this is the important part for me, clear and concise and understandable manner. So you could get overwhelmed with raw data, but it's presented so well that it makes it easy to be a board member. And we do review everything and we do ask questions, but boy, this organization makes it very easy to be a board member. So you gave a lot of compliments, and I think most of those are kind of pushed in the wrong direction. I think they belong to the organizational level versus the board level. So with that, I just want to thank you again for highlighting it. I'm glad everybody here heard that. I would encourage some of the members of the staff, whoever, to look at this, because this is how you're going to help us board members get better and hold us accountable. And if we're not doing the things in here, feel free to wrap us on the noggin with that. So with that, thank you very much, Dr. Loomis.
You bet. And Mary and Greg, if anybody, I have extra copies. I think I still have like half a box of copies. So long story short, if anybody needs copies, we could send them out your way. No problem. And I did find a couple other books that maybe I could share down the road that I'm getting into that I might, provide board members as well. So wherever we could do to support, help the growth. And you're right, Greg. We have a couple strong, healthy networks that we oversee. So some of it is just good reminders of the good work you're already doing.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I think we're moving on. Was there anything else from you, Dr. Loomis, today? You're welcome to join us. Please don't go unless you're.
Yeah, I might hang out a little bit, but no, that was it for me. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. You're excused if you want to be, but we love guests. So thank you.
Yep. Drop in anytime.
Yes. I'm going to go ahead and move along. I almost have goosebumps after that. So we're at 4.0 public hearing, and I think we're good because we're supposed to not do this before 8:45. I have 8:46, so I think we're good to go. So 4.0, the Governing Board of Directors encourages participation by parents, teachers, and members of the community interested in the affairs of Adeo Charter School 2, Adeo Charter School 3, Adeo Valley Charter School, Grossmont Secondary School, and Sweetwater Secondary School. The public hearing is now open for the Educator Effectiveness Grant at, and 8:46 is the time. This is an opportunity, so I'm opening the public hearing. I've announced the time. This is the opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on the public hearing. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Catherine Rambo, Curriculum and Professional Development Coordinator, will present the Educator Effectiveness Grant Plans. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you so much, Greg. Let me share my screen. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Catherine Rambo. I'm the Curriculum and Professional Development Coordinator, and I'm here to talk to you today about the Educator Effectiveness Funds Plan. The total award by the California Department of Education for Audeo 2 is $40,682 to be used by the 2025-2026 school year. The intent provided by the California Department of Education is to provide professional learning to promote educator equity, quality, and effectiveness. So we kept this in mind as we were creating our plan. We have 11 teachers and staff members who will participate for a target of 583 hours through the 2025-26 school year. The one-time funds from the CDE have 10 specific allowable uses that are specified. On the left side of this chart, you will see the allowable use criteria number that aligns with our professional development plan. And the formal document is in your board documents. So I'll briefly go through the different criteria and what our plan is, and then there'll be time for questions at the end. Criteria one speaks to the mentoring and coaching of staff for teacher retention and to improve work-life balance. We have aligned our new teacher training program, professional growth training, as well as our induction program and our quarterly teacher wellness professional learning to this criteria. Criteria two promotes the highly effective instruction for Common Core state standards and to improve literacy. Our professional learning sessions that are aligned to the Smarter Balanced Assessment Blueprint and follow Common Core state standards instruction fall under this criteria. Criteria three is to provide accelerated learning opportunities and improve student engagement. So our professional learning focused on our AVID program and Naviance will support this criteria. Criteria four is specific to trauma-informed practices, social-emotional learning, suicide awareness, and access to mental health services, and training overall to improve student well-being. Our Altus University sessions with our healthy youth therapists and our healthy youth department fall under this criteria. Criteria five is professional learning to promote equity and positive school climate. Working with our equity and inclusion officer, we have identified equity conferences, root cause analysis training, and the implementation of a cultural proficiency certification for teachers. Criteria six provides training to improve inclusive practices around universal design for learning and the development of individualized education programs for individuals with exceptional needs. So we have included our special education training under this criteria. Criteria seven is specific to training that supports our English learners in language acquisition and development. We have included training for our integrated and designated English learner program within this criteria. Criteria nine is to support the new ethnic studies curriculum legislation that requires a semester of ethnic studies as a graduation requirement beginning in the 29-30 school year. We have included training for the creation, adoption, and implementation of the ethnic studies curriculum within this plan. Thank you so much for your time and consideration for the plan. Are there any questions?
Thanks, Catherine. I really appreciate that. If there's nothing else, then I'll go ahead and close the public hearing at 8:51. Thank you so much. So we're moving to 5.0, the consent agenda. And all matters listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and will be approved and acted by the board in one motion in the form listed below. Unless specifically requested by a board member for further discussion or removed from the agenda, there will be no discussion of these items prior to the board votes on them. The president recommends approval of all consent agenda items. So 5.1, consent action items for the Adeo Charter School 2, Adeo Charter School 3, Adeo Valley Charter School, Grossmont Secondary School, and Sweetwater Secondary School for each school. So 5.1.1, consider approval of meeting minutes for October 20th, 2021, and November 15th, 2021. I'll just call you out. Waylon, do I have a motion to approve?
Thank you. Yes, I make a motion to approve.
Thank you. And I will second that. And Waylon, your vote, please.
My vote is aye.
And Greg Haggard votes aye, so that passes unanimously. So we're into 6.0, board comments and announcements. I'm Greg, sorry.
If I can interrupt you, we have to continue for the public hearing for the other schools. There's only one school. So if you look at your agenda, we have the different schools also.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't read my writing. So do I need to do this for each school?
Yes, it's a requirement of the funding for CDE that a public hearing should be done for each school.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. So, Catherine. So I'm sorry that I lumped those all together. So we've had the public. So with apologies, I'm going to open up the public hearing. So we'll consider, Lynn, make sure I don't do this incorrectly again. So we had the public hearing for 4.1.1 Adeo Charter School 2. That opened at 8:46 and closed at 8:51. Okay. So I'm going to open the public hearing for, I guess, for the public hearing is still open. So I'm going to reopen it at 8:53. Apologies. And we'll continue on with 4.1.2 Adeo Charter School 3. Is there anything, Catherine, that you want to add separately, or tell me how we're going to do this?
There is. So I have a presentation briefly for the other schools. So our overall plan is very similar for each of the criteria, but some of the specifics are different. So for Adeo Charter School 3, we have $27,685 to be used by the 25-26 school year. And again, the intent is to promote educator equity, quality, and effectiveness as described by the CDE for these funds. For Adeo Charter School 3, we have 8 teachers who will participate, as well as additional certificated staff for a target of 397 hours for the 2025-26 school year. Any questions for Adeo 3?
You want to continue, please?
Absolutely. Adeo Valley is next. Again, educator effectiveness funds plan. For Adeo Valley Charter School, we have $27,419 to be used by the 25-26 school year. We have 12 teachers that will participate for a target of 393 hours. Again, using the same criteria as previously talked about, criterias 1 through 9 as described by the CDE for allowable professional learning. And I will continue going for Grossmont will be next. For Grossmont Secondary School, we have a total award of $60,830 to be used by the 25-26 school year. We have 14 teachers and additional certificated staff that will participate for a target of 873 hours through the 25-26 school year, as previously described in the criteria set forth by the CDE. And then lastly, Sweetwater. For Sweetwater Secondary School, we have $60,419 to be used by the 25-26 school year. And for Sweetwater, we have 15 teachers and additional certificated staff that will participate for a target of 867 hours through the 25-26 school year. And that concludes my presentations. Are there any questions?
Okay. Catherine, thank you for that. I feel like I need to take one extra second and a deep breath, and I'm so sorry that I truncated your presentation and was not able to even read my own agenda properly. So I think we're okay. If there's nothing else in this public hearing area, I'm going to go ahead and, with as long as Lynn nods at me, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing at 8:57. Thank you. So Waylon, why don't we do we're going to do the consent agenda again, just because I like things in order and I just feel like maybe we should. So I'm not going to reread that again, but what we have is we're voting on the consent action items for Adeo Charter School 2, Adeo Charter School 3, Adeo Valley Charter School, Grossmont Secondary School, and Sweetwater Secondary School. So 5.1.1, consider approval of meeting minutes for October 20th, 2021 and November 15th, 2021. Do I have a motion for approval of consent items 5.1.1?
I make a motion, Waylon Myers, to approve those agenda items.
Thank you. And Greg Haggard seconds that. And Waylon, your vote?
My vote is aye.
Thank you. And Greg Haggard votes aye, so that passes unanimously. Thank you. So now we are at 6.0, board comments and announcements. From time to time, each board member may have topics of interest that they would like to share with the community. These are informational in nature and do not require action. Are there any further announcements or comments?
None from myself. Thank you very much for all the hard work everyone's doing.
I second that. Thank you very much. And thank you for that Governing for Greatness book and Dr. Loomis for that presentation. I'm going to go back in there. There must be a sub chapter on how to run a meeting effectively with reading the agenda without mucking it up. So if there's nothing else, does anybody else have anything to add? I hate to let you go because I love seeing you all. One of the few times I get to see you. Does anyone have anything, staff, you want to add? No. Anybody?
No. Don't feel badly. It's not a problem. And that's why staff is here to help. Thank you, Lynn. So we're here for you.
Perfect example of what I was commenting on earlier.
We're here for you.
The organization makes it easy.
I may not get to see all of you before winter break, but I just want everyone to have a very safe holiday and enjoy your families and relax. And we'll be back in the new year to do some wonderful things. Thank you. Thank you, especially board members, for I know you're very busy men out there doing lots of important work. And thank you so much for donating your time to us. We just can't thank you enough.
There's nothing more important than this. This is where I go to cleanse my soul from all the other things that I do on a daily basis.
Now, Greg.
So thank you, everybody, really. So we're down to adjournment. Unless there's anything else, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I, Waylon Myers, make a motion to adjourn.
And I'll second that. And Waylon, your vote?
Aye. My vote is aye.
Greg is aye. So it's unanimous. We're done. Thank you. Go do good things, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.